Let's turn back to God in prayer. Loving God, we pray as we turn to your scriptures, as we continue in your scriptures, we pray to be open to the ways that your Spirit is speaking to us, the ways that your Spirit is guiding us, the ways that your Spirit is challenging us. Gracious God, we lift up all these prayers to your Son's name. Amen. This summer, we're going to be spending some time learning about the stories in the Old Testament, about from the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. So the children's message was a good teaser into that. 1 Samuel are books that tell about events from 3,000 years ago, but we're going to discover that they're very applicable today. 1 and 2 Samuel, it was actually originally one book written in the Old Testament language of Hebrew. However, when it was translated into the Greek, which is what the New Testament was done, and that was called the Septuagint, which was that translation. When it was translated over into the Greek, it was split into two books. And so that's how it comes to us and how we read that today of 1 and 2 Samuel. So 1 Samuel begins during a time when each of the 12 tribes of Israel were governed by charismatic judges. There's no centralized government. And as a result, Israel is easily conquered by the nations around them. So during this time of these stories, the powerful nation next to them were the Philistines. Now, if you're a historian, this is the period of time that we refer to as the Iron Age. And the Philistines had iron. They had iron, they had chariots, and so they were able to dominate their neighbors like the Israelites. Well, the Israelites started getting tired of being conquered. And so they were being ruled by these different judges, but these different judges turned out to be very ineffective and corrupt leaders. Now, there were a couple that kind of stand out in a positive way. You may have heard about Gideon or Deborah, which were two of the positive leaders who were judges. But for the most part, this was a time of economic and moral decay for Israel. So the Israelites were tired of being conquered, and so we come up to the last of the judges, and his name is Samuel. Today we're going to be reading his story and about this transition for Israel from being ruled by judges to the time of moving into a monarchy. Now Samuel is anointed into leadership through Eli, but what the children's message didn't point out was that the reason that happened is because Eli's sons were corrupt. We learn in the first part of Samuel that Eli's sons had been accepting bribes as priests, and also they've been raping women. So like I shared earlier, this story may be 3,000 years old, but unfortunately it's very relevant today. So we're going to learn that as Samuel gets older, like Eli, he also has corrupt sons, and the people are frustrated that they are a second-rate nation with an aging leader. So yes, there is some ageism as well in this story. So the people began to demand a king just like everybody else. The bigger and stronger nations have kings, and they want to be like all the nations around them. So we're going to be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 9.
Good morning. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after gain and took bribes, perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel in Ramah and said to him, "Behold, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint us a king to govern us like all the nations." But these things displeased Samuel when he said, give us a king to govern us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken to the voice of the people in all that you say to do for you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all deeds which they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me, serving other gods, so they are also doing to you. Now then, hearken to their voice only. You shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
If you grew up with the Brady Bunch, then you're familiar with the line, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. The Brady Bunch, as those my age know, was a show from the early 70s about a blended family. A dad with three boys marries a mother of three daughters. Now, in this one episode, the middle child, Jan, is frustrated that the oldest child, Marsha, is getting all of the attention. Marsha is seen as successful by Jan, and Jan is jealous and wants to achieve that same level of adulation. And so, therefore, Jan complains that all she hears is Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Many of us struggle with that same sense of inadequacy compared to others. Many of us wish that we could be just like someone else who is more successful than we are, someone else who is better looking than we are, someone else who is more spiritual than we are, someone else who is more athletic than we are. Many of us struggle with these feelings of being inadequate. And all that we seem to hear in our head is Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. The story we just read is a story of a group of people who feel inadequate. They are tired of being poor and disorganized. They are tired of being beaten up by their neighbors. So they decide that they must become like the one that they admire so much. I once read a quote that said, the world is trying every day to make you like everyone else. In other words, the culture we live in is trying to make us feel inadequate and conformist. The more we feel inadequate, the more we will buy to make up for our inadequacies. The more we feel inadequate, the more we will seek unhealthy solutions to try to satisfy that hole that is in our soul. Mike Robbins is an author who tells about a recent conversation he had with a friend of his. She had just returned from a two-week trip when Mike asked her how her trip was, and she replied, it was a magical place where I could feel like I could be myself. The people there didn't care about what I did. They didn't care about how much money I made. They didn't care about what clients I had. So many of the other things that we seem to care about didn't matter. My only currency when I was there was to be who I am. As Mike reflected on her words, it really hit him how much his time and energy is spent trying to accumulate currency in the form of money and accomplishments and appearances and status, and connections, and other external things. He says he does this because he is seeking access to the things that he thinks are important, and that by striving for these things, that one day he will make it, whatever that means to make it. He then concludes by saying, what if we lived more of our lives focused on who we are, and not so much on what we do, what we've accomplished, what we look like, who our friends are. What if the most important thing is to simply be who God created us to be? In our story from 1 Samuel, the Israelites become dissatisfied with who God is crafting them to be. So they tell God that they want a king, just like everybody else. Samuel warns them about what that means. A king will draft their citizens into war. A king will force the people into enslavement to support the king's power. Their goods and their lands will be confiscated, and they will be heavily taxed. And upon hearing all of this, the people say, "Everyone else has a king. We want a king." So God tells Samuel, "Samuel, this isn't a rejection of you. This is a rejection of me." So Samuel is led by God to anoint Saul as their first king. Saul, however, proves to be incredibly ill-prepared for the job, except he looks like a king because it says he was good-looking and he was tall. But even though people make poor choices, God still stays with them and still carries out the will of God to lead the people in the direction that God chooses for them. You know, many of us may be striving to be like someone else. And with that desire to keep up with who we think we want to be like, sometimes maybe we've made some poor choices. We've wasted our time and our energy and our money, sometimes in frivolous ways. But God doesn't give up on us, amen? God continues to work in us and through us, and even when we are driven to be like somebody else, God does not give up on us. Amen. This story invites us to become comfortable within our own skin. Our job is to be faithful and obedient servants to God, and that is what is okay. We don't have to be like somebody else. God has created you to be the best you that you can be. "Marcia, Marcia, Marcia," Jan exclaimed because she was not like her sister. And that's okay. You be the best you that you can be because that is who God has created you to be. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, in a world that seeks to make us into something else, into somebody else every single day, we pray to have the courage and the strength to be who you are creating us to be and not be driven to be somebody else, but to be who you have created us to be, special and unique in your eyes. So gracious and loving God, we pray to faithfully live into our calling, who you call us to be. We ask all these prayers to your Son's name. Amen.